Luke chapter 16, if you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't, there's probably one in front of you, or nudge up to a neighbor and get to know someone. Luke chapter 16, we're on a series of questions or a sermon series called What If. We talked about what if the Lord were to come back, what if God answered all our prayers. Today we've got a controversial what if, and it's really not a what if, it is a what is. And so in Luke chapter 16, we're going to pick up a parable in verse 22 that Jesus shared. If you have one of those red letter Bibles, you got it in red letters there, so you know Jesus is speaking. Before we begin, I'm just going to appeal to you to listen with an open mind. I know that maybe some of you here kind of go along with this, but I view society today, this has become a forgotten truth. And when it gets to that place where we can't remember what it is, it gets kind of dangerous. Forgotten about in a lot of churches. Hardly ever mentioned before. I challenge you to try to remember, and I had to start looking back in my notes to find out when was the last time I preached on the subject of hell. And that's the question today. What if there is a hell? And some of you have already changed channels and thought about what's going on this afternoon. Because of the idea that there is still the concept of hell has just been become an outdated truth. It contradicts what most people believe God would be. But there is no God in this universe that would create such a place of torment and punishment. I think the church, in our effort to reach out and to touch the lives of those that are not people who necessarily read the Bible, much less believe what they read, we've kind of lost the core of the truth of the gospel. One of the things that we're saved from is hell. As a 9-year-old boy, my Sunday school teacher taught one Sunday morning on heaven and hell. I don't remember a whole lot about heaven, but I remembered more than I cared to about hell. And it wasn't long then before I became a Christian. I believe what the Bible says. And so today we're gonna approach that. Keep an open mind. It's not a what if in my book. It is a reality. It is the truth. Despite the fact that the church has become silent on it, and if you're still thinking about how long has it been since I heard that kind of a sermon, that will just prove to me the measure of how long it has been. It's controversial. There's enough trouble in the church. You don't need to create another one. And so when we talk about something like this, there are those who regard it as truth, and there are those who it's just hogwash. If you don't know what hogwash is, go to East Texas and stay about 6 months, and you'll learn what hogwash is. So we want to talk about that today. There are some people who, if you'll believe in it, you believe that it's a state of existence. My life is hell. Well, no, your life is not hell. Your life may have problems and issues and stress, but it does not a fair representation of what the Bible says. Hell is life. We regard it as a condition, a set of circumstances. Stephen Hawking said this about hell: heaven and an afterlife is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. Pretty smart man, but he's off on that idea. Old revival preacher put it like this: you not believing in hell, don't lower the temperature 1 degree. Because we choose not to believe it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I can choose not to believe in China, but if I could get on an airplane, I could fly there. it really doesn't matter what we believe or not. If it exists, it exists. Mark Twain said, I'll take heaven for the climate and hell for the society. A lot of people believe that if you get to go to hell, it's just going to be party time all the time. And that's not going to be such a bad place. Ted Turner said, I'm looking forward to dying and going to hell because I know that's where I'm headed. And I just quoted these people to prove that there's a lot of misinformation. People don't know what they believe or if they believe or should they believe. And so we're going to talk about two or three things about hell today. Some people believe that when we die, life is over, that we cease after death to exist. The gravestone inscription on an atheist says, here lies an atheist, all dressed up and nowhere to go. And someone came along and chiseled in this line, I bet he wishes that were so. There is a place where we are going. We're created in the image of God, and as created beings in the image of God, God is eternal. God doesn't die. He says of himself, I am. There's no starting and there is no ending. We are more than created human beings. We are created eternal beings. We are eternal. When we read of the death that's mentioned in the Bible, especially over in the New Testament, it is talking about not a physical death. We know that takes place. We've been to those funerals and to those gravesides, and we've watched the physical material body being deposited back in the earth. But there is a piece of us, our soul and our spirit, that is eternal. And that is who you and I are. This body that we live in is nothing more than a casing, nothing more than the, like the guy who went to the funeral of his best friend. He said, this is just the shell of him. The nut's already gone. And that's kind of how we are. We are a being. We don't see that part of our being, but we have a shell. That's the body. And when we die physically, that's what of us dies. But the soul and spirit lives eternally. It lives forever. The evidence in the 16th chapter is that there's this man who went to hell. Verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's some evidence right there in those few verses that there was life. He could still see. He still had a vision. People who go to hell can still see other people with them in hell. He could see Abraham. And he recognized Lazarus, which means his mind still functioned. He could talk. The Bible said he called out to him. He had a sense of thirst. Could you dip the tip of your finger in some water and touch my tongue? For I'm tormented in this flame. If he was dead, he wouldn't feel the torment. If he was dead, he wouldn't remember. Man, if I could get my hand on cup of water in hell. He could sense the temperature. I'm in agony in this fire. And he could hear because Abraham now carries on a conversation with him. He says in verse 24, and he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy. Verse 25, and Abraham said, tells us down in verse 26, besides all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Once you are there, there's no getting out. There's no back door. Verse 28, I have five brothers. Send someone from this place, verse 27. That in verse 28, he could talk to my brothers so that they didn't have to do what I've done. That doesn't sound like death to me. That sounds like life to me. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. It's a place of darkness, a place of weeping, a place of, the Bible says, gnashing of teeth, grinding of teeth. Have you ever listened to somebody grind their teeth? And talks about in Luke about it's a place where the worm dies not. And I'm guessing if that is true, then you're not going to grind your teeth down to a nub either. Oh, well, this will only be for a temporary time. No. Things are not going to cease when we get to hell. We will just cease. If this is all there is to life, Paul said, we're of all men most miserable. While we're living the Christian life out here on this earth, if that's all there is to it, you're foolish to be in this room today. You should be out doing something fun and exciting. I don't think church necessarily falls into that category. Home sleeping. Doing something else other than assembling together for the purpose of worship. Hell, throughout this story, is a place of pain and torment. It's a real place. Some people believe we're only going to be there a short time. We're just going to be there, you know, kind of find a parking place, park, walk in, say hi, and leave. We're not going to be there forever. Contradicts what verse 26 talks about. At the time of this story, people who died without Christ went to a place called Hades. People with Christ didn't go to heaven. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom. At Calvary, when Christ died, the Bible says he led captivity captive. That means that he went to hell. And he announced to these on the right in Hades, you didn't have to be here. You didn't have to come here. It was your choice. And he turns to those on his left, those who were in Abraham's bosom, and he takes them out to be with him in heaven. You recall back on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me where? Paradise. We're not going to heaven yet. We're headed there. But we've got to stop on the way to get those in Abraham. And now we're there. So a person, just, I don't know why I want to share that with you, but maybe you can connect the dots a little bit easier. But when a person dies today, that soul and spirit goes to hell or to heaven. And some people believe, no, you just fly around long enough to find a parking place. Just kind of circle the airport. Because you're not going to be there long. You're going to be released. The Bible says no. You don't jump from one side to the other. You can throw out those ideas that some people have that there's a purgatory. Or that we come back reincarnated. Really? How much of an idiot do we have to believe in reincarnation? That means that my child, our two children, Kevin and Kim, that were born to us back in the 70s, they weren't really ours. The children that you've had, not really yours, they're just recycled babies. You know, they died somewhere else. And, you know, God has them over here on a shelf, and when you have a child, he'll send you another. Recycle. How does that make you feel? I know you think I've seen kids that look like my kids. Who knows? If you believe in that kind of stuff. Ridiculous. We don't just go somewhere and get recycled. get back, come back. I would think that if you came back, you'd remember what you were the last time you were here, wouldn't you? Wow, I've never seen that before. Oh, yeah, I have. I saw that back in the 1600s. We don't think through the lies that the world says, we're not going to be there long. Hell is a place with no relief, no end, no way out. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says, they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. There is no 5 o'clock somewhere in hell. It's going to be 24/7 forever. No getting out. In hell, you're going to do the things you wish you'd have done here. You're going to call out to God. You're going to pray for mercy. You're going to bow down. You will. When the Bible says every knee shall bow, He means exactly that, every knee. You will want to repent of your sins. You are willing now to give up everything in this life so that God can be a part of you. But unfortunately, you're in hell. There's a disturbing verse in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. It talks about the cup of cold water and visiting in jail and those things. And then He says, depart from me. And He says in verse 41, hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. I guess if the devil does have a pitchfork, I don't think he does, then in hell, God has prepared him a place to hang it up on the wall. I mean, hell has all the accommodations the devil and his demons need. You? None. You ever take a trip and have to sleep on a different bed? Remember how your first night is? Uncomfortable. You get up with aches you didn't even know you had. Your back doesn't straighten up. You can't walk good. Probably wasn't made for you. Hell, not made for you and me. God didn't prepare a place like that for us to spend eternity. It's going to be uncomfortable. When you go to a meal, they're going to serve food you don't like. There's not going to be a salt shaker there. There's no Dr. Pepper there. No chocolate ice cream there. There is nothing there that you like. As a matter of fact, it's been prepared for the enemy of God, so everything that is there goes against the grain, goes against our nature. Oh, well, they'll be having fun. They're in hell. Really? If we could kick the lid off of hell for just about a minute, and interview one of them, I don't think they're having a good time. It's a place of torment and a place of pain and a place that's not prepared for you. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, I'll go prepare a place for you. It's going to be an amazing place because He's still working on it. Got gold streets out in front of my house. Not sure where my house is going to be, but I know there's gold streets. But not so in hell. Not going to be that way. It was designed for the devil and his angels, not for man, not for you. God never intended you to die physically and go to hell. Never intended that. The last item is, hell doesn't seem that's God's idea. Didn't the church get this together? I mean, if we could scare people enough with this idea of hell, let's go with that one. Because God, too much love, too much goodness, too much mercy. I can't believe that God would create a place like this. You hear that a lot. doesn't make sense for a loving God. I have found out in my time there's a lot of things about God that doesn't make sense. God's put a lot of things in motion that I don't understand. Jim and I have a saying, you don't need to know everything. I'm waiting for somebody to come and explain to me how a black cow can eat green grass and give me white milk. I mean, how does that happen? But God created it that way. Why would God create hell? I don't know. I do not understand, but I do know what the Bible has to say. 2 Peter. The Lord's not slack. He's not easy. He's not going to take it easy concerning His promise, like some people would. But our God is long-suffering toward me and you, us. Not willing that any should perish, but that every one of us, all. That means everybody. That doesn't mean everybody, but it means all. All should come to repentance. God's plan is for all of us to turn our heart away from our sin and toward God. And He said there's going to come a time when I cut that off. I promise you, that's going to happen. Now, I'm not slack. I'm not lazy concerning it. I'm going to keep my promise. You know why He's going to keep His promise? There's a backside of hell. The backside of hell is a cross with the Son of God nailed to it. God gave His Son so you could live. Only reason. Not because He thought you were a good person, but because He loved you. He knows warts and all, and He still cares. The conflict is that He created us not like a... First thing I saw this on the internet, I'm like, what am I? When you sign up for something or when you're logging on to some place, there's a thing, maybe you've seen, prove you're not a robot. What? Can you see me? I'm here. And I found out you just click that thing that says, okay. God didn't create robots. He didn't manipulate us and program us to do certain things. You know what He did? He left that part out. And He gave us a will to choose. We're not robots. He's not going to program us to do certain things. And that becomes the conflict. I was coming out of Paris yesterday. Coming out of Paris by myself, I had Judy's car. Her goes fast. A little Tacoma can hit 100, but that Buick, it can mean. So I was really looking forward out with my mom out of the front seat, me just going back home. Crank on some good old country western. Get some peanuts and put them in the Dr. Pepper and have a concert. But I got hung up at Sonic, and it was happy hour. So I decided I'd get me some ice cream. If you've been to Sonic, they got a board that's just filled with ice cream flavor. I exercised my will. They didn't say, because you're that car in that spot, here's what you get. No. They were like, may we help you? Now give me some chocolate ice cream. I didn't need their butterscotch or all that other stuff. I exercised my will and I made my choice. Then I had a great road trip. until I got to the construction part on the other side of Rockwall. God puts the choice in front of us. He sends a neighbor. He raises your mom, your dad, somebody in your family that cares about you, takes you to Sunday school and church, you hear about the gospel. Somebody in college talks to you, and sooner or later you realize, you know what, I've got to make a choice. And I've got to choose between living my life for the Lord or living my life for self. There's the rub. Life would be really great if He'd have just programmed us all to choose Him, but He didn't. He wants us to come to Him for the same reason He came to us. You know what that was? Love. He gives love and He asks for us to love Him back. And when we love Him back, He accepts us and welcomes us as His children. And we go home to be with the Father. It's your choice. While you're on this earth, you have that choice. Once you die, once He comes back, that promise is done. Got a choice right now. Well, I'm going to wait. That's a choice. Right? I'm not going to get chocolate, and I'm not going to get ice cream or vanilla. I heard that's another flavor. I'm not really sure. I'm just not going to get either. That's a choice. You're not going to have anything. Some people think, well, I'm going to wait to make that choice. You've just made the choice. I'll wait until later. I'll just stay neutral. That's your choice. God comes all the way. Jacob Missy came from Chicago. Way back. Most of us know her. She used to be over our children until that church of our husband. Chicago. Just kidding. God came all the way from heaven to this place today to meet you. And all that He asks is that you come and meet Him. Way, way more than halfway, He has given His Son. His Son died for you. He paid the price and He offers it to you. God forbid you die and go to hell. But you can't blame God. You can't point your finger. You didn't tell me. That's why He sent me here today to tell you. You need to know. It's real. Just because you can't figure it out, just because you can't explain it to somebody else, doesn't alter the fact that it is real. God has done His part, and He asks you to make a choice before you leave today. Bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer.